So what does every James Bond movie have in common with VeggieTales and Goldie the Bear? Here's a hint. It's the same thing that Longmire has in common with Barney the Purple Dinosaur, or The Crown with the Beverly Hillbillies, or Hawaii Five-O with the Brady Bunch and This Is Us. Okay, now does anybody guess, can anybody guess what all these things have in common? They all have a theme song or music, that as soon as you hear it played, you know, oh, that's that show. I had fun this week in the office saying, hey, what's your favorite TV show? And some of the characters in our office started singing or humming the theme song for these shows. And, this is so, if I started whistling and, the fishing hole song, Andy. Yeah, you know it, the fishing hole. Or if I got Sandra back up here and she played two notes. Dun, dun. What is it? Jaws, that's right. Or if I give you five words where everybody knows your name.
Cheers.
Yeah, the theme song from Cheers. I mean, every movie, every TV show has a theme song, and we know these. And in fact, we ourselves might have kind of a theme song for our life, our marriage, or maybe a part of some area of life. Raising teenagers, our theme song for them was Every Breath You Take. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. And it's so appropriately sung by the band The Police. We love music, and we set life to music, and so there's these theme songs that we associate with life, things that are important to us. Well, if we were to compose a theme song for God's Word, what would summarize God's Word? What would the lyrics be? Well, kind of the cool thing is that God in His Word does give us His own theme song. And it's what we find in Psalm 107. And we're going to be spending several weeks in this psalm, but turn to Psalm 107, and just we're going to look at the first three verses. The theme song of Scripture. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. We're going to spend 5-6 weeks or so working our way through Psalm 107. And I'd encourage you to read the psalm today, sometime this week, and you'll see this recurring theme constantly appearing. It appears 6 times, this chorus, to thank the Lord for His steadfast love endures forever. We see God is good, His steadfast love. This is the theme song of all of Scripture. This word, steadfast love, is 2 words, but in Hebrew it's 1 word. We've probably heard it somewhere, hesed. It's a word that's hard to capture with just one English word. It's the word that's on the bulletin cover, and it's surrounded by kind of the range of meanings in English. Mercy, goodness, favor, kindness, loyalty, unfailing love. Steadfast love is mentioned about 250 times in the Old Testament. It really is the number one hit song throughout Israel's history. In fact, throughout the entire Bible. It first appears in Genesis 19:19. God's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and because of its sin, but God rescues Lot, and Lot, in response, declares how God showed him great loving kindness, hesed, steadfast love in saving his life. God's steadfast love is a theme later in the song that Moses teaches the children of Israel after they've come out of slavery in Egypt. God's goodness and love forms a theme, a huge theme of the praise music of Israel in the Psalms. This word appears 127 times in the Psalms. When David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, he wrote a praise song about it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Years later, when Solomon finished the temple, reverberating off the walls of that building by singers and their instruments was, "He is good, his steadfast love endures forever." Hundreds of years later, Jeremiah sings in a rather minor key of Israel's coming exile in Babylon and the destruction of Jerusalem. But then he breaks into, you know, major key with major hope for the future, that once again Israel will sing the old song. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." After the exiles do come home, they begin to rebuild the temple. And Ezra records for us that with trumpets blowing, cymbals clanging, and the people just shouting out loud this praise, "He is good, his steadfast love endures forever." This is the theme song of the Old Testament. But it's also the theme of the New. The equivalent of hesed is God's mercy-filled, grace-abounding, agape love. God is love, 1 John 4:8. And God shows his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. The New Testament routinely calls us to remember God's goodness, to give thanks, and to reflect his merciful, gracious, forgiving love in our relationships. So in other words, this theme song of Scripture of God's love, it is to be the theme song of our lives. But why these lyrics? I mean, there's 100 things we could say and sing of God. Why his goodness and love? Well, for a couple reasons. One, because they are true. But perhaps more poignantly, because God's goodness and his love, this is what we doubt first and question the most. And we have done it ever since there has been recorded human history. In the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, the serpent comes and he asks, "Did God really say you can't eat from any of the trees of the garden?" I mean, look at all this goodness and beauty that God's put around you. You can't have any of it. Of course, he's insinuating that God is not good in that. And Eve, you know, she says, "Oh, no, it's not that bad, you know. Yeah, we can eat from the trees. Just this one we can't eat from here in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Oh, that's the best tree of all. Oh, that you can't eat from that? Oh, wow, God's withholding from you. That's the one tree that will make you like God." Again, he's insinuating that God is stingy. He's not loving. He doesn't have their best interests at heart. He doesn't love them. If he did, he'd give you what you needed. The sin of Adam and Eve was to act from the lie that God is not good, that his love is stingy, and you and I are tripped up by that same lie as well. I mean, it's at the heart of all our discontent and unbelief when we don't like how God's running our lives, running this world, and so we run off to do our own thing. I watched grandchildren last week weep uncontrollably at the loss of a grandfather, and someone might say, "Where's the love of God in that?" I've watched couples struggling with wayward children. Where's the goodness of God at work in that? Perhaps God has not healed you or healed a loved one of some illness, though you've wept your prayers for healing. Where's the love of God in that? We're beaten down by unjust circumstances, and God just seems to be standing around with his hands in his pockets doing nothing. You know, doubting God's goodness and questioning his love is so easy in our culture today. It's kind of the go-to place, isn't it? We believe the lie about God, and so what God does with this song, really what it is a protest song. It is God protesting the lie that has sunk us for all of human history and that destroys our lives continually. That somehow we don't believe God is good and that his love endures forever. And so God protests. And throughout the story of his people, throughout Scripture, he reminds us, I am good. And my love endures forever. This is a protest song. Well, the question then is it our song? You know, to make this our song, our theme song, there is really kind of two steps to this. One is we have to admit our true condition, needing redemption. And second, we've got to cultivate a thankful heart. First, we have to admit our true condition. Verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he has redeemed from trouble. You know, somebody needing redemption is somebody who's in bondage to some force that they cannot get away from. They can't break free. In 1992, a cargo ship left Hong Kong bound for the U.S. And while en route, the ship hit some very rough seas, and several shipping containers fell overboard and were lost at sea. Well, one of the containers had 28,000 plastic bathtub toys, you know, rubber ducks, turtles, frogs. Well, the container broke open, and the toys were set free in the Pacific. And from there, they began to travel. Well, a few lucky ducks landed in Hawaii. Some made it ashore in Alaska. Others were beached in South America, Australia, and the Pacific Northwest. Others actually made their way to Scotland and Newfoundland in the Atlantic. But there are still thousands of these toys, plastic toys, bobbing around in what is known as the North Pacific Gyre. That's this vortex of currents which churn and hold captive what actually has become a plastic trash heap that some estimate is the size of Texas. Well, 20 years later, some of these rubber ducks break free of the gyre's grasp and they wash up on distant shores. But it doesn't just happen. And the ducks don't set themselves free. Instead, it takes something external, a shift in the wind, a storm, marine life bumping, you know, a duck out of the current. But if it's not for some outside influence, the ducks stay trapped in this floating trash heap. Well, that's a picture of us. In our sin, we are trapped in this churning vortex, these currents of selfishness, pride, and unbelief, and we are unable to get free, and we will die in our sin unless God rescues us from our trouble. And he does, because he is good. And he's done so repeatedly throughout history, and the greatest rescue and display of his goodness is the cross of Jesus Christ. And God didn't have to rescue us that way, but he did so because he is good, because he loves us. In God's word, one of the words that we run across associated with redemption and redeemer is kinsman redeemer. And it's, if somebody is sold into slavery, a family member comes along, this kinsman redeemer, and that one is the one who has to pay the price to set that loved one free. And that's what's behind this word here in Psalm 107. God became our kinsman redeemer. As the New Testament puts it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Or 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is the one who has set us free, coming from the outside into the gyre, into the vortex. The Son sets free, they are free indeed. Well, do you know yourself to have been held captive to sin and death outside of Jesus? See, until we know that we've been redeemed from trouble and by God, we'll never sing this song. Instead, we'll continue to live in the delusion that we are free and we don't need God. And that is the lie, and we will die in that swirling vortex. But when we know ourselves to be in the company of the redeemed, that God has rescued, and he did so not because we were great, because we are not, but because of his sheer goodness and love. When we know that, see, then there's going to be this thing called thanksgiving that wells up within us. And this is really the next step into singing this song as our song. We become a thankful people. But there's something curious about thanksgiving. You know, gratitude is like a muscle, and it has to be exercised or it becomes flabby and weak. And without cultivating a grateful heart, our hearts just naturally grow dull. Instead of giving thanks, we tend to grow demanding of God's goodness. And when contrary circumstances impact our lives, instead of this humble gratitude, we tend to grumble and complain about what's missing in our lives, and we even begin to doubt and to question God's goodness and love. And so we need to protest the lie about God. We need to cultivate a grateful heart. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's how this psalm begins. This word, give thanks, means literally to throw down. Casting down is associated with giving thanks, most likely because of the gesture. These hands extended to throw out the arms as if we're casting our gratitude down at God's feet, casting it out to him. Well, to make this our song by cultivating a heart of gratitude, what we have to do is to keep marveling about our redemption, to keep lively the wonder of the depth and the breadth of the love of God for us in Christ. Well, to help us treasure Christ more greatly, author Jared Wilson, he says, you imagine driving down the road in your car, and your car stalls on railroad tracks. And you're understandably nervous as you're trying to restart your engine. And then you become even more anxious when you see a train rounding the corner and now coming down the tracks toward you. And you are trying desperately to get the car started, and it won't start. And so now your anxiety has switched not just from getting the car started, it's switched to getting out of the car yourself. But because you're so fearful, your hands are stiff and they're shaking, and you cannot unfasten your seatbelt. And that train is rushing toward you. The horn is blaring. The brakes have been set, but it's going to hit you. And you know you're going to be hit, and you are, but from behind. A man in the truck behind you has decided to ram into the back of your car, pushing you off the tracks, even as he then is destroyed by the train in the very spot that you once occupied. Well, you get out of your car, shaken and frightened. You're terrified by the gruesome scene. You're in shock over your rescuer's sacrifice. And you sit down on the trunk of your car as you're trying to retrieve your cell phone from your pocket to call 911. And that's when you hear it. The whimper from inside your trunk. Because you didn't know that before you left the house, your kids were playing hide and seek. And a couple of your kids decided to hide in the trunk. And you frantically open it and you discover that they are miraculously unharmed. And now you suddenly realize the total greatness of the loss you almost suffered. And your gratitude, your amazement, your new outlook on life just suddenly takes a giant leap forward. When we think about salvation, You know, it's not just, yeah, I've got eternal life. I've been saved from death. You know, there's always something in the trunk of our lives. Something precious, something dear to us. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's our families. There's always something that we are holding on to that is so wonderful. When you think about what you have been rescued from, you have been rescued from utter, absolute loss of everything. Everything you hold dear. You have been rescued and brought into life for one reason, because God is good and his steadfast love endures forever. And the demonstration of that is that God gave his son. Jesus lost it all, that we might be given everything. Well, this goodness and love still follows us all the days of our lives. And so, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell their story. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Well, you've been staring forward this whole service and perhaps wondering, what are these yellow boards up here for? This is the Thanksgiving wall. And over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to see how there is no place we can go, north, south, east, or west. There's no situation we can find ourselves in, whether it be a desert wasteland, darkness of death, distress of disobedience, or the danger of disaster. There's no place we can go or be where God in his goodness and love cannot reach us, and rescue us, and deliver us. And so as we work our way through this series in Psalm 107, I want to encourage you, the redeemed of the Lord, to come up. Maybe while we're singing or at any time, feel free to come up and to write on the board how the goodness of God, how the love of God has met you. Maybe it's just some short thing that you are so glad God did this in your life. You're so grateful for who he is, how he's met you with goodness and love. Maybe you'd like to write something at home. And on a card, we'll bring it next week, and we'll have some pins up here, and you could pin it up on the board. But let's be a people who throw it down on the wall, our thanksgiving, and who tell our story that God is good, and his love endures forever. You know, the world doesn't see it. The world is not singing that song. But it is to be put in the lips of you and of me. My brothers and sisters, let's sing it. For God is good, and his love endures forever. This is our theme song. Hallelujah. Amen.